is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Page number is 1242 from our Pew Bibles. We are using the ESV Bible. That's our Pew Bibles. And if you want to look at them, it's okay. And if you have a different version, that's fine. That's Ephesians chapter 2. We've been studying on the book of Ephesians. This is the second time, Ephesians chapter 2. Before looking at our text, let's pray together. And Heavenly Father, thank you for telling us about your story, that we could know what happened to us and we could know your salvation and plan, although we're not deserving to have your grace and mercy. Lord, thank you for the book of Ephesians that we're going to open today. It was great to know about your plan last week. We are elected and you are called, and all things is your grace and your plan. Lord, would you please help us to understand your plan again today by looking at a chapter 2. Through this chapter 2, help us to look at Christ alone, and also bless me and bless my lips so that I will preach Christ and nothing but Christ, so that we all see your glory and honor together at this moment, very moment. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and they raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of God. Chapter 2 is definitely related to chapter 1. Today our text is related to the previous chapter, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. If you want, you can look at it later, not right now. Now, Paul here talks about what God has done for the church in the previous chapter, chapter 1, verses 15 and 23. And basically, he said, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. And then he says, 21, 23, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And in verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. So basically, Paul summarized what God has done for us. And it we move to chapter 2 in our text, 2 verses 1 through 10. I try to divide this chapter, these verses, like a 3 units. It will be like a verse 1, 2, 3. I'll be talking about dead in our sins. And verses 4 to 7, that's our theme verses, alive with Christ. And verses 8 to 10, we will be talking about new creation in Christ. Let's talk about the first unit, which is verses 1 to 3, dead in sin. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. As I said, and Paul describes what God has done for his people in chapter 1, and later verse 19 and 22 more. And then with his power, and then God raised Christ from the dead. And then now, Christ rules everything. He rules the world, and he is the master. He is our Lord. Now, then, chapter 2, all of a sudden, Paul changes a little bit. He begins a new section with an interesting word that we're going to look at later to describe Gentiles, their previous condition before they get to know Christ, before they believe in Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 1, you are dead. You are dead. Now, this isn't an adjective in an original language. In Greek culture, if someone uses this word dead, and then it refers to those who were morally and spiritually deficient. So, saying you're morally and spiritually not qualified, you're a dead person. But here Paul used this word differently. And in Paul's theology that we see from Romans and other part of his books, and death is always connected with our sins from the beginning of the world. And then Paul understood death came to us as the penalty of our sins, as Bible teaches us that. And the Paul's theology of death goes deeper than penalty of sin in Ephesians here today. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, the word dead is more like the condition of human beings to describe the biblical understanding of the fallen man. You are like a fallen man. Your condition is like completely dead. The state of being lost and separated from God. So as a dead person, Paul is saying, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. Not even you can move your finger. Gentiles, you are spiritually dead. That's part of Reformed theology. Nothing that we can do. Man is fallen, that there is nothing a man could do to live again, to be saved. Even a man would never respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without help from the Holy Spirit, that we will be talking about that later today. Now, Paul gives reasons why Gentiles were completely dead, dead people in our text. And he said, you were dead in the trespasses and sins. That's obvious. Scripture teaches about that. Although Paul used the two words here, trespasses and sins, now his intention is not saying two different things, but rather he emphasizes that the seriousness of their sins, the Gentiles, their sins, even our sins, before God. We were, all you were, horrible sinners before God. Therefore, you are so far away from God, and there is no hope and no life, and only death remains with you. And then Paul talks about what kinds of trespasses and sins later in verse 2. Paul tells that basically three things in verse 2 about trespasses and sins. We could talk about more things when we read the Bible, but here in our text, Paul summarized the three things. The first one is following the courses of this world. Yeah, that will be sinful. The second, following the prince of the power of the air. That means under the rule of this world. We'll be talking about later. And the third one is actually working of the evil spirit in your life, in your life. That's why we do lots of sins against God. Let's go a little bit more about these three things today. Now, the first description, and literally it will be translated like this, according to the course of this world. Now, ESV translates like the course here. In the original language, it means a long period of time and age. And in other interpretation, people are a little bit confused of the word in here. Here in Greek is aion. That means a powerful thing in Ephesians at the time to control them, all the people in the Ephesian church, to make them not to follow Christ. So some theologians are talking about that. What we are not going to that way, but information for you. But its meaning is, of course, means age and period of time. During this time, how evil things are controlling all, the people and all Christians and all the Gentiles in Ephesians right now. That means following something in the world, not following God, Jesus Christ. Now here Paul describes people who were actually controlled by this world. It's powerful culture. And its powerful environments surrounding them and leading people to rebel against God and not listening to God. That is according to the course of this world. That's what Paul tried to say. The second thing is, his description is, according to the prince of the power of the air. It's kind of a little bit hard to understand in lots of things here. Literally, it means according to the ruler of the authority of the air. Now, Paul here is talking about power and authority in the world. Now, power and authority in this verse means domain or realm of a king. Then indicating the power of actually the devil and Satan in his time. Even we can relate it to our time. So Gentiles were under the power of Satan. That meaning is according to the prince of the power of the air. So the devil, who is the ruler of the air, is in verse 2, Paul is saying, now at work in the sons of disobedience. So all these things combined, according to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, that's why the devil is working in your life, so you become the sons of disobedience. So that's why you are dead. So now Paul describes the condition of the Gentile Christians before they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They believed in Jesus Christ. They were walking in their own sins and transgressions. That's verse 1. They walked according to the path of the world. There are many choices they will see, but they will follow the path of the world. They walked according to the rulers and rules of the devil. That's why I love Ephesians. We're going to see those challenges in our lives. Okay, this is the way we have to go because we are Christians, God's people. This is the way that we have to not go because this is the world. People are saying. All these things, Paul says, they were the children of disobedience. The reading verse 1 and 2, it's not happy description. Then question is, were the Gentile only the children of disobedience? Paul's answer is no. Paul includes himself and Jews to the story in verse 3. He says, among whom we, first personal, plural language, we all once lived. And then later he said, like the rest of the mankind. Not only you Gentiles, you are outside of God's grace and walking different ways, but we did too. Now Paul expands his description of the Gentile Christians, their former status, dead and sinful nature, following the world, to all the people in the world, including the Jewish people, here in verse 3. Like the Gentiles, Paul and the Jewish Christians lived in sinful life. That's obvious. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it's obvious, for all have sinned. Everyone have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. None is righteous before God. No one seeks for God. That's our status before. Now here in verse 3, and Paul uses later in the very interesting phrases to describe what they once lived. They lived in the passion of flesh. The passion of our flesh in our text. And it says, second one, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Two things. The passion of our flesh. That Paul is talking about evil passions in human hearts. Galatians chapter 5, more specifically, Paul talks about chapter 5, verse 16. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Why? That you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. Now here Paul talks about desires of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries and dissensions and divisions, and an envy and drunkenness, orgies and things like this. These are all passion of our flesh. Paul said we lived in that world before. And Galatians chapter 5, 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. Now Paul moves to the second one, the desires of the body and the mind. Actually three things, but he combined it together. Certainly the desire of the body means sexual desire. Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about more. What Paul talks about in verse 3 here is not only for Jew and Gentiles, but all the people, including himself, all the people in the world, we are looking for the desire of the body and the mind. That's shame. But we cannot deny that. In verse 3, he says, we were, because we were doing all these things, we were the children of wrath like the rest of mankind. It's interesting. Paul always, he talks about the Gentiles, and he said, we're not different. We Jews, we're the same thing. We were the children of wrath. Related to the verse 1, we were dead in the trespass and sins. And what happened? If Paul finishes his teaching here in verse 3, it's like there's no hope. It's all about negative message about our sins and evil and flesh, desire of our mind and body and passions of our flesh. It's all negative things. We're spiritually dead and there's no salvation at all. And God's wrath is coming to us. God's wrath upon all these disobedient. And we are waiting for His judgment. But thankfully, Paul always comes with a solution. And he moves to the next step. And Paul talks about now God's action and God's response to the people's sin in verse 4 through 7. Now Paul talks about here new hope. The people, they didn't have any hope, but now they have new hope in God. That is God's love and mercy and grace. In verse 4, he said, but God, being rich in mercy and because of the great love with which he loved us. Here in verse 4, Paul starts with two words, but God. Although all the people in the world deserve God's judgment and wrath of God, but God, He emphasizes two words. But God, it doesn't matter your former status or your condition. But right now, but God has shown His love and grace to you, to your people. Here Paul emphasizes the abundance of God's grace and love. And his teaching of God's mercy and love is not new concept, not new thing. It's all from the Old Testament. We know that the Old Testament describes God as abounding in steadfast love. That what we read in our beginning of our worship today, God had to punish His people, the Israelites, because it's all about their sins. When we read the Old Testament, it's so much stress coming out of our reading. Literally, they're so stupid. They just crossed the Red Sea, and then later they said, "No water, please, no water, we're going to die." They just watched what God did. God departed the Red Sea. It's happening a million times. They experienced God's mercy and they just betrayed Him. They deserved God's punishment all the time. But the Old Testament always says, but God showed His love and mercy over and over and again. That's the beauty of the Old Testament. His mercy and love was not only for the Israelites. In Jonah chapter 4 and 2 clearly says that, and this is what Jonah chapter 4 and 2 said, and he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said?" He said, "I don't want to go." Why? "When I was yet in my country, that is why I made haste to flee to Tarsus, because he ran away from God's commission. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." Jonah ran away because he knew that God is a gracious God. He didn't want to share God's grace, mercy with Gentiles. God's love and grace and mercy for all the people is from the Old Testament. That's Paul's mind. In the book of Ephesians, Paul again emphasizes God's love again and again and here and there. Chapter 3, 17, 19. Chapter 5, verse 1, 2. Christ's love and for His people. And chapter 4, 5, 6. Love one another. In Paul's logic, in his mind, God is so merciful to His people. Why? Because God loves His people. So the question is, what happened to the Gentiles? What happened to us because of God's love and His mercy? That answer is found in verses 5 and 6. Here in verses 5 and 6, interesting thing is this. From verses 1 to 4, there is no main verb in the original text. Pastor Perry always said that, find main verb. There is no main verb in verses 1 and 4, which means Paul's theme was not in verses 1 and 4. But in verses 5 and 6, Paul uses, in the original language, three main verbs to describe God's mercy and love happening in the lives of Gentiles. In verse 5, it says, what happened is, make us alive together with Christ. In verse 6, raise us together with Christ. Verse 6, sit us together with Christ. Three verbs, main verbs. These three main verbs, it's really important to understand, for us to understand our text. To make us alive together with Christ. What a wonderful words putting together. Make us alive together with Christ. It happens here, only here, in Colossians chapter 2, not in other Bibles in the New Testament. Here, Paul started out our text in our text word dead. You are completely dead. But here in verse 4, Paul tells us that how God gave us a new life in Christ. God made us alive together with Christ. We were dead, but God made us. What does it mean by being made us alive together with Christ? Surely Paul talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is now ours. As God raised Christ, His resurrection is yours. That's Paul's teaching. That's why we go to the second main verb is verse 6. He raised us up with Him. Him means Jesus Christ. Christ resurrected from the dead. He conquered the curse of our sin. Now God made Christ's resurrection as ours. That means raise us up with Him. And in Romans 8, verse 11, it says, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This is God's action. Jesus Christ, His resurrection is not ours. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, For as in Adam all died because of their sin, we died because of our sin. But also in Christ, We shall be made alive. We're not dead people anymore. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, you were also raised with Him through faith. What an amazing sentence we just read. We raised us up with Him. We are not anymore dead people, but we were raised with Christ, and now we're alive with Christ at this very moment. We have come to life with Christ, nothing else, who was the dead and rose again. Now the meaning of being made alive with Christ is well explained in Colossians chapter 2, 13 and 15. What happened is, it happens to us, being made alive with Christ. It happens to us because of the forgiveness of our sins. That's based on Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 15. It happened to us. We live with Christ because the forgiveness of our sins. God forgave our sins. That's the beauty. And it happens to us because Jesus delivered us from the principalities or the powers of the world. We are not belonging to this world anymore. The new life comes to us because we share in what we have, what we've seen and what happened in Christ. That's why John Calvin says, interesting, we had been brought from the deepest hell to heaven. That's what we have. Now the beauty of alive with Christ, that's our status. The beauty of alive with Christ is found in verse 6, which is the very last main verb. It says, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that we rule the world. It doesn't mean that. It means Jesus is on the throne. He has dominion over all things, as Paul describes in chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Now our part, we share His inheritance. We are no more on the rulers of this world, the rule of the devil. We're not controlled by them. Because Christ's victory over us, Christ's victory over the evil powers is now ours. Therefore, God seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If we read all these three verbs carefully, such amazing expressions. you will see. Now, an interesting thing that I have found is that these three verbs, main verbs, are all in past tense in Greek language. So literally can be translated, we have already been made alive with Christ. It happened. And we have already raised with Christ. And we have already seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, all these three main verbs are connected with one phrase that we're going to see in verse 5. That is, by grace you have been saved. All these three main verbs are connected with God's grace. One time, R.C. Sproul says, if you wanted to understand Reformed theology, read this verse, which is verse 5. He said 1,000 times. But I will read it to you just one time, verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God's love and mercy in verse 4 is actually all about God's grace. The word grace is a key word in the book of Ephesians. Paul already mentioned about grace in chapter 1 and verse 7. God showed his grace through the death of Jesus Christ, and he saved his chosen people for the purpose of showing his immeasurable grace. So it's all about God's grace in the book of Ephesians. And here, chapter 2, Paul describes that God's grace is even forever. In the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace. It happened to us before, but it will happen to us in the future. It happened to somebody else in the future. And God's grace is forever. God's grace will last forever. And his surpassing grace will happen to all the people in the future. That's what Paul is trying to say. His grace is forever. No one can limit his grace. His divine decision, his divine purpose. Since we have God's grace, since we were raised with Christ, and Paul said we are new creation. That's verses 8 and 10. Verses 8 and 10, Paul talks more about God's grace. And even verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, but this is the gift of God. Now we know that salvation always comes with faith. It doesn't mean that we have a choice to receive God's grace. And sometimes people misunderstand about God's salvation. Because I have a faith, so please, Lord, give me your salvation. It's not that way. Remember what Paul said, you were dead. You didn't have even faith. We didn't have any choice. But it's all about God's divine grace. Remember what Paul said about our nature. Before we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, completely dead. Since we were dead, we couldn't even respond to the gospel without the help of the Holy Spirit. That is what Paul said here today. Faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Our text clearly teaches us one thing. Faith is the gift of God. So once we start believing God, that's not our action, actually. Because we were given God's faith in us. That's why we are able to believe in God. When God calls us, that means he also will give you and me and his gift, faith, so that we are able to answer his call. Here I am, Lord, send me. Even faith is about God's grace. Therefore, from our text, there is one conclusion for Paul's teaching in verse 9. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. No human work or qualification related to God's salvation and His grace. Because we were following the course of this world. Maybe we still do. We were following the prince of the power of the air. Maybe we still do. We are. We live in the passion of our flesh. Maybe we still do. We are carrying out the desires of the body and mind. Maybe we're still doing. That means we don't deserve anything but God's wrath. But God, with His grace, it doesn't matter who you are. God made you and me alive with Christ. God raised you and me up with Christ. He seated us with Christ in heavenly places. That's Paul's conclusion. Therefore, no one can boast, oh yeah, I am better than you. I know better than you are. I am here. James Kim is here in front of you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because I'm better than you. No. I never thought about that. I never believed that. It's all about God's grace. It's all about God's grace. I'm standing here because of God's grace. That makes me all the time humble, sometimes a fear. Brothers, sisters, you come to New Hope Church, enjoy the fellowship of God's love and with God's people in Christ, learning about the Word of God from your small group meetings or our Sunday school. It's all about God's grace in you. It's not your decision because God has called you. Sometimes we say, I hear so many times since I joined Reform Circle since, I guess, 1997, Reform Christians, Reform Christians. I was not a Reform Christian because I know you already know that I came from a Pentecostal background. We are Reform Christians, we say. We are Reform Christians. Come on, it's not we are Reform Christians. It's all about God's grace. Nothing to boast. God's grace is sufficient for us that we are Reformed Christians. That since we have experienced God's grace over us, flowing over us into our lives and everywhere, what's next? Paul's conclusion is in chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, now for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now here Paul teaches us about we are God's new creation. We are new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 70. We are new creation in God. And Paul also talks about our call, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now here, good works comes, which God prepared beforehand for good works. Now I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible in the Old Testament. We know King Hezekiah. In his story, he was about to die. One story from his story. But God gave him, extended his life 15 years. So gave him extra 15 years. Wow, that's happy. He was happy. But later, when a prince of Babylon visited him, this is what he did. He was boasting about what he had. Oh, this is my kingdom. This is my silver, my gold, and everything, my treasure. Everything he showed and bragged. He was boasting about himself. Then God spoke to him through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah brought God's judgment to him and his nation, the king Hezekiah. Now, he did not repent of his sin at this moment. And his pride before God. And this is what the Bible says. 2 Kings, I forgot the chapter pretty now, chapter. But here, 2 Kings, somewhere in verse 19. Hezekiah.
And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, this is what he said, the word of the Lord that you have spoke is good. Yeah, I know God will judge. Yeah. He said that, but he thought in his mind, why not? If there will be peace and security in my days. Do you see that?
Yes, the word of the Lord that you have spoken is good. Surely we deserve God's judgment.
But why not? Yeah, because there will be peace and security in my days. He didn't care about God's word. He didn't care about God's judgment upon the nation. Rather, he thought, peace and security in my days. Is that our attitude? We cannot deny that we are in a spiritual battle world in the United States. Everybody will say, yes, that is true. A spiritual battlefield here is in the United States. The course of this world, everybody is following that way. The prince of the power of the air were ruled by Satan. The devil's spirit works in people's lives. Especially read Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, we already won the war in Christ. That's true. But the battle is still going on and everywhere. But the battle is not completely over yet until Christ comes again. Christ, who is the judge and will judge everybody, judge the world and its people and their sins. And we all be standing in front of him in his judgment seat. We'll be asked, what did you do? Here in verse 10, and Paul says that we were now created in Christ Jesus for good works. Paul is not talking about the salvation through good works, but he's talking about good works that we have to perform, we have to bring to the world to respond to God's grace that we have. We got to do something. The nation, our nation has to alive again with Christ. That's obvious. And our society around us needs to be alive, it needs to alive again with Christ. We Christians need to stand up for Christ. We Christians need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are good works that we have to carry. There's no time for us to say, oh yeah, peace and security, I'm fine. What about our children? It is time for us to say to the world that do not walk in trespasses and sins anymore, but let's walk with Christ. Let's alive with Christ. That's our good work, our job to do that God prepared beforehand. At the beginning of our text, Paul started with a word in verse 2, walk. That's Paul's language. Now here, Paul concludes his teaching with the same word, walk, in verse 10. Once we were dead and walking in sinful nature, that's us now, but we alive with Christ. That means walking with Christ. No more walking in death. Because we are alive with Christ. That precious news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to bring to this country. We need to bring to our neighbors, even to the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. We have received your grace. Now we have to share your grace
we have to preach Christ, who is a true grace. Lord, would you please bless us, bless our hearts. Somehow, we can speak, we can boldly speak about Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Bless us, Lord. Bless our hearts. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.